Okay, welcome back. Hour number two already. Zoom, zoom, zoom. Let's go to the Rocky Mountains. Let's go way up high in the Rocky Mountains. 18,000 feet. Is that high? 20,000? You're way up there, Frosty. How high is it? I forget. It's 8,000, isn't it?
It's 8,000 feet, Jeff. No question about it. And it's cool. It's clean air. And it's really that Rocky Mountain high. I get to go each day to go work out, and I get to literally out my back door, I'm looking at the Continental Divide with a bunch of 13 and 14,000 foot peaks. And it literally is like it's a curtain of mountains right in front of me as I drive toward my Buchanan Rec Center, where I swim and I bike and I lift weights and I run. And it is an extraordinary, every morning it's extraordinary. And if I go watch the sunsets at night, it's absolutely beyond spectacular because the thunderheads get lit, you know, and the backlighting gets lit, and it's a moving picture that's just astounding, 365 days a year.
Boy, you're lucky. You know,
I'm lucky.
8,000 feet. Do you have to do much snow clearing? And we must.
We just had a big snow, and I'm out there shoveling it, and you know, good exercise. I enjoy it, and I'm very thankful. You know, and my backyard is probably it's close to an acre, and it's got a little stream, and the deer come through. Anywhere from 6 to 8 deer come right through every day, and they drink out of the stream. In fact, a 8-point just came through this morning, and then every 2 weeks we have the elk, and the elk come through and they drink, and sometimes 100-150 elk, and they're always circulating all around this area. In fact, Evergreen, Colorado, which I'm right next to, they have license plate that say got elk. We actually have to have 8-foot fences along the highways to make sure the elk don't get run over, and they have to put them 8 feet high so they don't jump them. And then just beyond that, I get to see the buffalo. We have an original herd of some of the last buffalo that
You're
were.
You're kidding.
Yeah,
You're
I'm not kidding.
Kidding. At 8,000 feet?
Yeah, at 8,000 feet. Well, you have to understand, Yellowstone, which has had the purest of all the buffalo left, they thought they were going to be extinct, and then the ones in Yellowstone. Now, Yellowstone has an average altitude of 7,000 feet, but, of course, it goes right up to 8,000 feet, like in up in Lamar Valley, where the wolves are. But you can see 2,000-3,000 buffalo. I mean, they go across that high country, and they just mow down the grass. So you can imagine what, you know, 1,000, 2,000 of these buffalo do. And all they do is just literally eat grass all day long. Well, we've got almost somewhere between 40 and 50 here, and it's called the Denver Parks Buffalo. And we get to see the calves every spring.
We get
to see them. Oh, they're fun. They're romping around. They're having a great time. Then we get to see the baby deer. I mean, they're beautiful with their polka dots and all that goes with it. We get to see the fresh new baby elk that are just so innocent, big brown eyes.
Are these near your home? Are they?
In the back of the yard. Yeah. Now the buffalo are about a mile away, and it's the exit 254. And you can see the buffalo. I just saw the buffalo this morning, and they're and in the wintertime they get fed by the Denver Parks and Recreation. But I bicycle by them literally all the time. So it's a wildlife. And then we get fox. Fox just come right running through right in the front of the house all the time. We've got a fox. We get wild turkeys. In fact, I just saw wild turkeys 2 days ago. There was 4 of them. So yeah, it's a wilderness animal land, and if I want to stay up all night, we actually have mountain lions that are crawling through the area here, and
if you want
every
to stay
once
up
in a while.
All night, I
get
it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm at 2,300 feet, and there was a point where I really wanted to move up higher into the mountains. It's kind of like a 5,000 foot plateau, a huge 100-mile plateau. It's around that same elevation. 4,200 mm-hmm. feet, something like that. You get snow, but, you know, 8,000 feet? That's yeah. amazing.
Tough I actually lived in I lived in Winter Park, Colorado, for 2 years. I was a ski bum and a bartender and a dance teacher, and I skied 7 days a week. I was a bartender 6 days a week. I had the 4 to 8, or I had the 4 to, or I had the 4 to 8 shift, or no, 4 to 10 shift, and or I had the 10 to 2 shift, or the, yeah, excuse me, what was it? Four all the way to 10, and then I had the 10 to 2 shift, and I was slinging drinks, having a ball, and then I would teach swing dancing, and you know, people just love it. They came to the bar. It was fantastic.
You taught swing dancing. Well, you certainly
yeah,
didn't
taught swing dancing. Yeah, I'm probably one of the few people you know. I actually taught swing dancing in Antarctica. I had 100 students.
Wild.
Yeah, we had a big gymnasium down there in Antarctica, and they all wanted to learn how to dance. And so, man, I just taught them swing. It's called six-count swing. It's also known as East Coast swing. And it's a 1 and 2, 3 and 4, 5, 6. It's a very easy dance to learn. It's uh-huh. easy for guys to lead, and it's easy for gals to follow. And you get a lot of spinning in, and you're moving around the floor. And it's quite creative. I mean, there must be, I'd say, 300 breaks. A basic is a basic. You do 1 and 2, 3 and 4, 5, 6. And a 5-6 is a rock step. It's just a rock step. And anyway, you go into all these breaks off the basic, and it's just fabulous. It's really funny. Back in college, because my parents were jitterbug dancers, they taught me. And my dad always said, son, you don't need muscles. Just learn how to dance, and I'm going to show you. You'll have all the girls you want. And I'm not kidding you. When I was back in college, the girls would line up just to touch dancing. The girls just loved to swing, whereas everybody else is sitting there doing their freestyle, and they're all shaking their hands, and they're shaking their bodies and all that. But everybody likes to be together on the dance floor, and girls like to – it's called touch dancing, and it's like country and western. If you can do a country and western, you've got that gal in your arms. She's got you in her arms. You're sashaying around the dance floor. You are the top cowboy if you can dance, and or if you're yeah. if you're a swing dancer. So yeah,
right, I got a question. When you were in Antarctica, where were you teaching? Were you at one of the bases there?
I was at McMurdo.
Yeah,
for those of you who want to be, I actually wrote a book about it. It's called Antarctica, An Extreme Encounter, and it's on Amazon, mm-hmm. and it's on Barnes & Noble. And I spent 6 months down there, and I was a journalist for the Antarctic Sun. I got to stand in the same hut that Robert Falcon Scott built back in 1912. I also got to be in mm-hmm. Shackleton's hut. And I got to sit where those greats sat, and it was an extraordinary 6 months. I was at the bottom of the world. I got to stand on the South Pole. I got to literally see the whales, the scuba birds, the Weddell seals, the emperor penguins. Oh my gosh! And I actually got to camp out. I actually bicycled. I got a bicycle down there, and I got to camp out in a Scott tent. I built igloos. It was an extraordinary adventure. It's all in that book, Antarctica, An Extreme Encounter. I feel pretty blessed.
Well, from Buffalo in the backyard to Antarctica, that's quite a little journey.
Yeah, it is.
So what's up here? What do we want to jump into here? It's not getting any better. So that was kind of a fun diversion, and I enjoyed that. Thank you.
You know, next month as we come in toward Christmas, I've certainly got some Christmas stories I want to share with everyone, because I think even though we're facing sobering situations in America and certainly around the world, every one of us has the right and the ability here in America at this point still, because of the First Amendment, certainly because of the entire U.S. Constitution, to live your life as you choose and be creative. And even though I talk about very serious stuff so much of the time in the columns that you read here at Rinse.com, I live a positive life. I make sure that I don't allow the politics of the world or in this country destroy my positive attitude. I don't let all these terrible people that are doing terrible things affect me. Although I do get affected at times because I have a lot of heart. I'm quite an emotional guy, and I get hurt when I see somebody hurting. I get upset if I see somebody hurting a dog or hurting a cat. But today I went off to an appointment, and there were two homeless guys right there in the corner of Wadsworth and C-470. And the one guy was just sitting there, and he had a little sign. He wanted some money. And he got up, and he walked by five cars. And two of the cars gave him a couple bucks. And I always carry food in the car in the form of energy bars. Yeah. I gave him two energy bars. And it just so sad. Here's somebody that has no life whatsoever. And then he wandered past, and then there was a junked out, a lot of homeless were right there, and they've got junk all over the place. I'm sure everyone's seen that. I mean, I've seen it all over. You go to Portland, Oregon, or you go to Seattle, you go to Denver, you can go to L.A., you can go to San Francisco, and the homeless are everywhere. And it hurts me that individual grew up, you know, went to school, may or may not have graduated, may or may not have had parents, and he's now, he was probably 35 years old, white guy, and he's sitting there with a little brown, and he sleeps in a tent off on the expressway. Right. And the noise is always going by. I've seen homeless, you know, right up there in Portland, in Oregon. They're on the clover leaves, and they're in tents, and they're entrenched there. I've been in Portland. They're right underneath the freeways.
Constant terrible pollution. Awful.
Oh, awful. Yeah, noise pollution, and you know, here in Denver, we've got 10,000 homeless. They're on every street corner. They're begging for money. They're begging for food. They're begging for anything, and they live in these tents. And for whatever reason, Jared Polis, the governor of Colorado and the mayor of Denver, it's a sanctuary city, so we've gotten thousands of illegals up here too, and they don't put porta potties out. So these people are defecating right there in the streets, urinating in the streets, and it's an emotional mess for somebody like me, and it's a physical mess, it's a cultural mess.
Well,
it's a societal mess.
They're going to see cholera and all kinds of things. But why? I don't understand why these cities, who are like San Francisco and so forth, have so many homeless. Why don't they put porta potties every other block in the corner and just service them? Why don't they do that? What's the deal?
That's the amazing question of the decade. And what's amazing is that if I were mayor of Denver, I would not allow a sanctuary city. And if I was governor of the state, I wouldn't allow a sanctuary state because just like what's happening in New York City and what's happening in Chicago, they're in the streets, they're everywhere. There's nothing you can do about them. There's no way to solve it. But the one thing that I would do is I would create a huge fenced-in arena that no loitering in the streets of Denver, because they're right down on California Avenue. I mean, you know, Sandy and I have gone down there and I've photographed it and done stories on it. They're right there on rents under my category. And what you need to do is go back to no loitering laws. And if you do loiter, then you're going to go to jail and all that goes with that. And I would have a fenced-in area out of the Denver city proper, and I would also have porta potties, and I would say it's mandatory that you set your tent up in that area, and also that you are required by law to put your tent there, and you can't put it on the streets, and you can't defecate because we're going to. And then I would take all the warehouses that are defunct, and I would literally create a mandatory barracks, if you will. I mean, you could solve this stuff.
It's common quite sense solvable. Could solve it. Not with liberal, socialist, communists in charge, though.
That's right. But this state of Colorado has two useless senators in Bennett and Hickenlooper. They have done nothing to improve anything in Colorado in the last 10 years. Nothing whatsoever. And Hickenlooper was the mayor of Denver 15 years ago. I even talked to the guy. I said, you can't keep doing this. And then he became governor, and now he's a senator. And he's been useless for well over 15, 20 years. Bennett's been in for 10 years. He and Hickenlooper are the reason that the borders are wide open. And they are the absolute reason why we have 10,000 homeless here. And now it's jumped, because I think we may have 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 illegal alien, vagrants here in Denver and up in Boulder and you name it. And so the tragedy is that this state has gone blue. It's got Jared Polis, who is pro illegal alien migration. He's got all the major cities except for Colorado Springs have got so many people that have come in from California, come in from New York, that we no longer are a Republican state, not even an independent state. It has turned blue. The entire Colorado legislation on the Senate and the House is all Democrats, and they fail the public at every juncture. I mean, absolute failure at every juncture. We have potholes in this state. You can bend your rim on your car just driving down the street. And so that's there is no accountability. And of course, from my travels this summer, same thing in Chicago. No accountability. Same thing in San Francisco. No accountability. Same thing in L.A. Absolutely no accountability. And yet,
so Frosty, I have a question. Do you think these idiots who are pro-illegal immigration on humanitarian grounds even have any idea that they're destroying what's left of this country by encouraging invaders to come in here? Do they have any idea? Do they think that deep, or are they that stupid and shallow? What's their real agenda here?
From an academic, as a teacher, a former teacher, an educator, I taught at the college level, I taught at the high school level, I certainly taught at the elementary level. What I have found, as a kind of a historian but observer, is that when you have a mindset like a liberal, they don't look past their nose, they don't see down the road, they don't understand the consequences because they haven't lived them, so they think they are protected against them. And so you have somebody like, say, a Joe Biden. He, in 50-odd years, has never done a day's work in his life. He's been a politician his whole life. Sure. He never served in the United States military because he had five deferments for asthma, even though he played football for 4 years in high school. Yeah. And so he's been in the lap of luxury. He has no clue of what's going down in the regular average America. He has no clue of what he has created with this. Now, U.S. Border Patrol, 8 million illegal aliens from every, I think, over 105 countries. And these 8 million are going to be essentially the new virus that's going to have all of these aberrant worldviews, certainly terrorist Islamic individuals who are either going to commit another 9/11 on a small level, going into we had an Islam kid up in Boulder 2 years ago where I used to shop at King Supers. He shot, I think, 13 people, killed them dead. And he's now gone to court, and he's trying to say he was insane. He's pleading insanity. No, he's a Muslim, and they're out to kill all non-believers. And so then, but then you have 9/11. But then you have Fort Hood, where that one major was in the U.S. Army, came down and shot another, I think it was 10 soldiers. Then you got Fort Dix, and then you've got the honor killings that are going on in Phoenix and in South Carolina. I mean, I've certainly reported on them. And then you've got Sharia law now manifesting in Detroit, Michigan. It's in Miami, and it's in Chicago. It's anywhere. It's in Fort Morgan in Colorado because you got all these Somalis. And then you go to Minneapolis. Sharia law is being practiced in our country. Female genital mutilation is literally everywhere by the hundreds of thousands, and it's assault and battery. So, yeah, that's what's going on, and these people don't realize.
Assault and battery?
Oh, yeah, it's assault and battery on a child.
It's irrevocable life butchery is what it is.
Life butchery, that's exactly what it is. It is butchery of a child, of a female child. You know, and they don't understand that Islam regards women as half the value of a man.
Right.
In fact, half the value of a camel. And so, yeah, there's no way that, you know, a guy like Michael Bennett has a PhD. He doesn't know squat compared to what I've seen at the ground level. He doesn't know squat of what he's doing to the American public. Literally, if we continue with the Joe Biden agenda for the next 13 to 14 months, that he's going to be in office until 20th of January of, you know, 2025, right, he will have allowed somewhere between 12 and maybe 14 million foreigners from 105, 110 countries with all their extraordinarily incompatible worldviews, all of their extremely incompatible religions. You know, and I'll give you an example. Vivek Ramaswamy or Rasenswamy or whatever he is.
Ramaswamy.
Yeah, he's from Asia. And I guess he's an American by birth, but he's a Hindu. I don't know how anybody would want to have Hinduism here in the United States, because it's against the Constitution to have three different classes, the Brahmins, and it goes down to the untouchables. And that's what the Hindus believe in. They believe that, and you can never change your class. If you're an untouchable, you're dirty, you're filthy, you're the lowest class, you can't be educated, you don't get to go to school, you are untouchable. Then you have the middle class. They're called the Sharudas, I think it's called. And then you have the Brahmins. And so that's against everything in America, but Vivek Ramaswamy, who's a pretty sharp cookie, obviously, he believes in that kind of a caste system. It's against everything that the United States of America and the U.S. Constitution stand for, because everyone should have equal opportunity in the United States to pursue their dreams, pursue their happiness. You know, Thomas Jefferson wrote that in the Declaration of Independence. And certainly somebody like Ben Franklin, you know, brought so much knowledge. You know, for those of you who don't know it, Ben Franklin was probably the Leonardo da Vinci of the United States. He was that brilliant. Mm-hmm. And so we have all those opportunities, and yet here's a Hindu guy running for president of the United States. And then you've got all of these other you go to Detroit, Michigan right now. They've already got Sharia law, de facto Sharia law is going on in Detroit, Michigan. And right, Nobody's speaking up. And the thing is, you will never hear any of the reports on NPR. You will never hear it on PBS. You'll never hear it on the mainstream media. But the undercurrent here is, of course, what I talk about in my latest column that's published on Rents here, is that the underbelly of America is turning really rancid with what's going on.
Sure.
And it's absolutely imitating what happened to the Romans, and it's already what's happened to Europe. And for those of you who didn't understand this, even the Spanish in Spain, and I've traveled all over Spain, I've traveled all over Europe. They had 1 million people in 42 different cities in Spain this last weekend marching against immigration because Spain is getting overrun. And then some Islamic person stabbed in Dublin, Ireland, And I've got friends there. I mean, I've ridden bicycle. Jerry Mulroy, one of my most delightful Irish friends, Dave Turner, you name it. These are my dear friends. Their country, Ireland, is getting overrun by North Africa and the Middle East. And so one of those Islamic characters who has no regard for life, he wants to get to his 72 virgins. He stabbed, I think, three children and a parent. Because they didn't follow the Quran or whatever. And then there was just massive riots going on in Dublin. So what you're seeing is, you've seen it, and everybody, if they haven't seen it, the strange death of Europe, immigration, identity, and Islam by Douglas Murray, a bestseller. I've got a copy in my, right here. And the guy is brilliant because all he did was report how Europe has created its own strange death by importing everyone that's totally incompatible with European standards, with European culture, with European, simply European work ethic. That has created a fabulous, you know, Spain has created Portugal, has recreated the UK, Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Finland. And I've traveled to all these places, Italy, you name it, Austria. And yet it is being destroyed because it allowed all of these third world minds, M-I-N-D-S, people who simply cannot function in a first world Western culture. And, you know, and Douglas also wrote a book called The War on the West. And, you know, Western culture gave us toilets and septic systems and cisterns and water treatment plants and water that was clean to drink and tests and making sure that systems work so people could have a sanitation and they could have a free of diseases, you know, such things that can be preventable. You can prevent cholera. You can prevent diseases that are spread, you know, if you're not sleeping with your chickens. Western civilization has brought the world out of the Dark Ages. But if you go to Somalia, or you go to Sudan, or you get into Indochina, or you get into the Hmong, if you get into Thailand, if you get into all these other third world countries, you're going to see things that you. I mean, when I was in these places, I was stunned out of my mind at the lack of hygiene. I mean, you cannot believe that they feature animals. They'll cut them up and leave them out, and the flies are crawling all over them. They milk the animals, and then they let the milk stay out, and it's all warm, and the tops are open so the flies can crawl over the top of the milk. I've seen stuff that most people, you just don't imagine it here in America or in Canada, but you're now seeing it because of what we've imported into this country. And at some point, as I've said before,
Did you see the story about the, there were 8 or 9 black Africans who had made it to Europe, and they killed a white person. I think they stabbed him. And they just were laughing. They said, "We came here to kill white people. We came here to kill white people." This is what's been done intentionally to Europe, and it's not going to stop. It's only going to accelerate.
Yeah, it's not going to stop. I mean, you have, I think, in France alone, around Paris and all the other cities. How do I know? My brother lives over there. He gets to see it firsthand. Right. And he talks to me all the time. And Europe has got somewhere over 50 million Muslims now and North Africans. And we're talking people
50
who
in
are
Europe. 50. I've heard 25. It's 50 million, you think, in Europe.
That's 50. If you can look it up, yeah.
Well,
they've literally destroyed all of their countries. And as a matter of fact, right now, in Canada, it's getting so overwhelmed by this, you know, Muslim immigration, but North African immigration. Trudeau is destroying his own country. Right. But they're having you can't celebrate your own cultural norms like Christmas because it's a discrimination against all of the other immigrants who have different norms.
You'll offend them.
That's right. You'll offend them. You know, and at some point,
this is the orchestrated, intentionally planned for a long time takedown of Western culture and civilization. There's no other way to look at it. That's exactly what's happening. It's not going to stop because the people no longer have it within them to stand up and say no. They will not do it. Can't do it. They don't have the mental prowess to do it. Sorry to say it. I'm not seeing it. I hope I'm wrong, but I have no reason to believe that I am. None.
Well, there's another. I mean, there's some lady got published in Forbes magazine saying that America is too white-centered.
Oh,
you know, and so, of course, she says everything is white-centric and white-centered, so it's discriminatory to the rest of all the people of color in this country. Well, guess what? The Constitution doesn't care what your color is. You get to do, you get to choose, you get to be educated, you get to have a job, you get to do anything and everything you want to do within the law and within the Constitution. But if you turn that around, what if a white person got up and said, well, everything's black-centered in Detroit, Michigan, or everything is black-centered in Chicago? That person would literally find themselves strung up in a heartbeat, but we have to tolerate such obviously disgusting racism from that sector. And Forbes magazine publishes this crap? It's crap, because what it does, and here's another beef I have with you know, NPR, National Public Radio. All they do is bring up all of the bad things that happened in the past 100 years ago. And then they go at it, and they make every other American that's not of a minority status guilty of the sins of 100 years ago. So they piss off all of the people of color here in the 21st century who have enjoyed every possibility to succeed possible, and again, I'll say it, every minority in the United States of America lives a standard of living higher than anybody else in the world. Why?
Even till this point in time, it's getting kind of dicey, but we still have, even though people are living on credit cards, even they're not living in the streets, and shame on any city, San Francisco especially, which doesn't put porta potties on every corner. Is it? I don't get it.
Neither does Denver.
Yeah, it's not stupid. There's an agenda at work here.
Yes, there is.
Somehow.
And I don't understand why or what and whomever has this agenda to break down.
The agenda is to take down the country. It's the end of the Western world. That's the agenda. That's the plan. That's what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, I've brought this up in the past before, Jeff, but I think every person listening to this broadcast, all you got to go do is go to Detroit, Michigan, and you will be walking into Little Baghdad. There's 300,000 of them. And you will not see any American flags. You won't see Old Glory. You won't see, again, Stars and Stripes. Mm-hmm. They speak their Arabic there. They teach in Arabic. They literally bring these kids up in that Quran thought pattern brainwashing. But if you go to Vancouver, Canada, which was once an all Canadian city, was fantastic. It's completely taken over by China. And at some point, we here in our country, the United States of America, will see our American way of life slowly and unfortunately effectively be displaced.
Every day. We're seeing it all the time now.
We're seeing it every day.
Yeah.
You know, and as much, and there's other, you know, there's, I mean, I've, Madeline, Weld up in Canada. She's a population expert and a fantastic writer. You've got Tim Murray up there. They've become friends of mine over the years. Brian McGavin over in the UK, Eric Rimmer over in the UK, some of my friends, Jenny Goldie over in Australia. Same thing's happening over there. Mark O'Connor. You know, it's really amazing. 10 years ago when I wrote America on the Brink, the next out of 100 million Americans, that was 2009, he wrote a book called Overloading Australia, because there are people in Australia that are just literally streaming in all these foreigners into Australia and changing the entire demographic. And also overloading them to the point that they're not sustainable. So people are going to be fighting each other for water and resources and you name it, but also fighting for just dominance. And where you once had a nice Australia, you now have a very conflicted Australia. Well, look at the United States of America. Look at Canada, what's happening in their big cities. These people do not integrate. They do not absorb. They do not assimilate into the culture and into the way of life. And that's what you're seeing happening right now here in the United States and virtually all the Western countries of Europe. And it's a frightening thing to see. And all of a sudden, when it happens to you and it comes to your own city, you're sitting there going, whoa. And as a matter of fact, my brother Rex was in Leroy, Michigan, where we have a farm and have for the last 75 years. And Leroy, Michigan's getting overrun by Mexicans Mexico.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I know how much that means to you guys and how much work you're putting on it.
They literally are coming into Leroy. And Leroy is a little tiny town of maybe 500. Has been that way, and it's all farmers. And it has one restaurant, the Mr. Pibbs, and it's got one, Ace Hardware.
The invaders are there. Wow.
And it's got the Amish, and they ride their horses and their carriages.
Where do they plant them all there?
That's the problem. They're just and they've got Muslims up in Cadillac, which is 18 miles away. They've literally got mosques now in Cadillac. And pretty soon, if you get enough numbers, you'll have the five prayer calls to Mecca every day, because that's going on in Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's going on in Detroit, and if you're a non-Muslim, you might as well just move out, because they don't care what you think. And so we are methodically being displaced. And people like, Michael Bennett, my senator, her name is Brittany Pedersen. She's not doing anything to stop it. And of course, Hickenlooper. And the bet is that right there, obviously none of the senators in California are stopping illegal immigration. No one's standing up. In fact, Mayorkas, who's allowing the entire invasion, Department of Homeland Security, He was not voted out. He missed getting impeached a week or so ago by 4 votes. And then you have, 34% of the American public thinks that Joe Biden's doing a great job, and they approve of what he's doing.
Can't take any of those polls seriously. That's ridiculous.
Well, can't, but somebody's...
You got 83 million votes, too. Remember that? 83 million votes,
But somebody wants him to run for president again, in 2024.
Well, there are a lot of brain damaged normal people walking around, and maybe some of them do. I don't have a clue. It's just beyond belief what's happened. Truly.
Well, it's going to. I was talking to Todd before the broadcast.
Yeah.
The next 12 months, leading up to the election of a new president of the United States, I think we're going to see some tremendous disruption across this country. We're certainly going to see, and as the Hamas-Israeli war wages on, and as the Ukraine war wages on, which just hurts me terribly to see all these children and women and grandchildren.
Oh, women are dying in the trenches now by the hundreds, apparently.
Oh, there's no question.
Put them in the army and sent them off to die, and the Russians are having to kill them.
Yeah,
the Russians
dying on both sides up there in Ukraine, and all for what? I mean, all for what? I am mystified why those two wars were started and why they're going on, and the unbelievable death toll, and then, you know, bodies that are going to be maimed, and all of the pain and all of the sorrow.
You may have a million dead and grievously wounded Ukrainians now. A million.
Oh, yeah.
That's the latest stat. A million.
Yeah.
There you go.
And there you go. And you sit here. There are madmen in history, whether it's Putin or Stalin or Mussolini or Hitler or Genghis Khan, who knows? I mean, you can just go right on down. Mayo and what he did. And here's Putin killing all of these Ukrainians and all those young kids. And then, you know, and let's face it, the United States of America, we're the ones that carried on that 10-year war in Vietnam. And I thought I was going to die. I thought I was a dead man walking. And that thing went on for 10 years because those old men in office got to call the shots. And all the young men got to die. And that's still going on today. And for me, having survived that era, I'm in a great deal of emotional just sadness for what's going on in the world. And I used to think, my God, we're going to move toward peace. There's no reason for war. Just stay in your country, respect your borders, make your own country better, help your country, educate your children, prepare them for jobs, and work toward a productive, contributing citizenry that's educated, that is involved, moving forward. And it seems so simple. And yet, you know, and for those of you who haven't seen this, tonight I talk about the rotting underbelly of America in 2023. I am pained that we have, you know, 100,000 drug overdoses. I've seen drug overdoses when I was in the Army. I was a medical officer, Medical Service Corps. And you see young kids, the OD, they die right in front of you. They die. They're alive at one moment, and they're dead the next. 100,000 died in 2021 from drug overdose. 110,000, and last year was only 70,000. I don't know how many it's going to be this year. All because our government, Joe Biden, all of Congress, will not secure the borders. Fentanyl, meth, heroin, every kind of drug is coming over those borders, and our kids are dying. And yet there's not a national outcry. There's no change in procedure down there on the border. I was down there again for the seventh time in the last 20 years to watch it firsthand. You know, you think you see it on the, you know, even CNN is sitting there having to report it now, because Mayorkas is a liar. Kamala Harris is a liar. All of those people
they're liars. Had a chance to impeach Mayorkas, and it was overridden. They took it off the shelf and threw it away. I don't get it. How this can happen? It shows you, I guess, ultimately, how gone. It's just gone. Our government is. There's nothing left to represent the people, the will of the people. Nothing there. And I'm not sure that I don't see how the American people are honestly ever going to rise up as one like they did to oppose the Vietnam War. They did that. They stopped that war. I don't see it anymore. I wish I did. I'm not seeing anything anywhere. These people just don't want to get involved. Remember that when that started? I don't want to get involved. They don't want to do it. And they're not going to. So we have no government. We have no active. There's no participation on the other side of the fence from the evil ones. We're not doing it. We're not standing up. We're not We're not activists anymore. I don't know what we are. Consumers. People bought a lot of stuff on Black Friday.
Yeah.
And one story we ran today, they were all buying on credit. There's no money. Not all of them, but most of them. So this is all coming home to roost, all of it. And when that happens, what happens? They lose their homes, they lose everything. And they'll be out on the street too, I guess.
Now the average credit card right now is a $5,500 balance.
I would have guessed more than that. But see, a lot of them are not going to be here, though, Frosty. They're going to die from these injections. And that's the biggest thing we need to keep in mind. The genocidal program is going to succeed to whatever extent they want it to. They control everything from the media to the dollar bill. They control it all. And through the dollar bill, they control the politicians. They control it. They own it. That doesn't mean quit. It means to understand your enemy and how powerful and ruthless and brutal it is. These people don't care about us. Not at all. They want us gone. So they're taking it all apart. Anyway, go ahead.
You're exactly correct. Our Constitution, our country, our laws, our police, even our military,
right. It's
all being dismantled.
Yes, it is.
And again, there will be a point, and I'll continue to report on it. I will continue to share that knowledge. And I'm astounded at all the letters I get from all the columns that I write for Rinse.com. I get letters from all over
That's
the country.
Nice. Well, you're very highly respected and cared for, Frosty, because you have put your neck out there. You've walked the walk all around the world. You've done it. You've seen it. No one is more qualified than you to make a judgment on what's going on here. You've seen it. You know. You understand. You're the great teacher. A lot of people understand that. You have synthesized the world to a degree that I know of no one else who can even come close to. And on that basis, you must be listened to. You know you've seen it. Go ahead.
Well, thank you. You know, and it's funny because I've had, other journalists. One of them was David Harsanyi. I think he writes for the New York Times right now, or he writes for one of the, maybe it's Washington Post, I'm not sure. Boy, he came up against me when he wrote for the Denver Post at one time. Wow, this Frosty Wooldridge guy, he's off the charts. And I'm sitting there going, hold it. I'm just telling the facts. You know, I'm down here on the ground level. I'm not making any money. I'm just reporting the facts. I'm a citizen journalist, whereas he's making $100,000 a year. You know, and so, again, you look at all those CNN reporters, or you look at all of, the mainstream reporters and the mainstream press, they don't know what's going on down there in the streets of Portland. They have never driven a bicycle through San Francisco's 35,000 homeless tents and seen people puking up on the streets, crapping on the streets, peeing on the streets.
Nope.
No, they haven't. And then you go to L.A., the same thing. They haven't been out. You get down in Miami, you're in the third world country. Miami's no longer an American city. You know, same thing with New York City, same thing with Detroit. None of those mainstream people, what is it, Scarborough, Joe Scarborough, he's on MSNBC. He doesn't know his butt from a hole in the ground. All he knows is he's sitting up there. He makes a fortune every year in front of a TV, along with his girlfriend or wife, whatever her name is. They don't know what's going on in America.
No.
And it's
farcical.
The last
time they were out on the streets learning and watching and observing, maybe they never have. You're right. They're just readers. Frosty, all they are is readers with an attitude. And many of them don't even have an attitude. They're just readers. So, whatever.
Yeah, they're sitting there in front of a teleprompter.
We're in real trouble. Yeah, that's all. That's all.
So all I can do, Jeff, and to every one of you, Americans, Canadians, Europeans, listening to this broadcast, all I can do is give you the reality and the facts as I see them. and as I care about Western culture, I care about the U.S. Constitution, I care about the Canadian Constitution. I've traveled in every province and every territory in Canada. I love Canada. I've got dearest of friends in Canada. I love Europe. I've got friends in Germany. I've got them in Norway. I've got them in Sweden. I've got them in France. I mean, I've got friends in Australia, the same thing. And I feel so blessed. But I got to tell you, we have got to stand up for Western culture, Western way of life, Western ethics, Western rule of law, Western understandings of life. And because if we don't, and we allow ourselves to be immigrated to death, boy, all of us, our kids are going to say, what were you thinking? Why did you allow this invasion of our culture, our country, our laws? And what were you thinking? And what did you think you're going to get out of it? You know, and whether it's Ilhan Omar, who should be deported, or Rashida Tlaib, who should be deported herself, or somebody like that, Joy Reid on MSNBC, they should put tape over her mouth. She's so stupid. You know, or a Maxine. I mean, I could just go down the line of all these useless House members of the U.S. Congress and senators that are absolutely doing nothing to improve this country. They haven't stopped Joe Biden. He's broken so many laws, and yet he's still there and pretending to be the president of the United States. I mean, it's a farce. And when the historians of the 21st century get a hold of the legacy of Joe Biden, it's going to be a nightmare. And it was all created by a man who is not, he's literally suffering from Alzheimer's, and he's done nothing for 50 years in Congress. It's maddening, it's frustrating, it's exasperating, and yet we're sitting here facing it, and essentially we're not doing anything about it. And
no,
honest
not.
To God, we've got to take action. We've got to start taking it. We've got to be taking action, please.
You're right.
All of us.
You're right. Mm-hmm. Rusty, thank you. I'll talk to you next time, and I'll talk to you in December.
Yep.
So be well, be safe, and
I will.
Enjoy. Okay.
God bless America and all of us.
Indeed. All right. Rusty Wooldridge just unloading on us. Okay. Lots to talk about. Unfortunately, it's all talk when you really think about it. Too bad we can't do what we talk about. Not anymore. Back with David Oates and more reverse speech coming up in just a few minutes. Let's find out what David has on his plate as we continue.